My audiobooks.ai presents Buried Bombs, How Europe's Cities Managed the Explosive Legacy of World War II. An excavator arm bites into deep soil beneath a bustling European urban center. Metal strikes heavy steel with a dull clank. Within an hour, construction halts completely. Police block off surrounding avenues, train lines shut down, and thousands of residents receive urgent instructions to leave their homes. This is not a sudden terror threat or an industrial accident. It is a routine encounter with an unexploded aerial bomb dropped 8 decades ago. Across major European cities, hundreds of tons of wartime explosive ordnance still rest undisturbed beneath apartment complexes, transit corridors, and riverbeds.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. To understand why modern infrastructure projects continuously unearth heavy munitions, we must look at the scale of aerial bombardment during the Second World War. Between 1939 and 1945, industrial air raids targeted manufacturing hubs, rail yards, petroleum refineries, maritime harbors, and residential districts across Europe. Military fleets dropped millions of tons of high-explosive and incendiary munitions across the continent.
Yet, aerial bombardment is an inherently imperfect engineering process. Historical estimates indicate that between 5 and 15% of all dropped bombs failed to detonate on impact. Some fell into soft mud, marshland, or deep river sediment, which cushioned the strike and prevented the mechanical firing pin from triggering. Others suffered manufacturing defects, damaged components, or faulty fuses. Certain heavy munitions were fitted with intentional chemical long-delay fuses. These mechanisms relied on acetone dissolving a celluloid washer to release a spring-loaded firing pin hours or days after impact. When those chemical reactions stalled or functioned improperly, the weapons remained armed but suspended indefinitely.
When the conflict ended in 1945, European nations faced an overwhelming recovery effort. Millions of citizens were homeless, transportation networks lay shattered, and basic public utilities required immediate restoration. Early clearance efforts focused strictly on visible surface hazards, clearing main thoroughfares and neutralizing weapons lying in plain sight. Deep underground exploration was technically impossible with mid-20th century equipment, and economically impractical during a period of acute national crisis.
As European cities rapidly rebuilt during post-war economic expansion, heavy machinery leveled damaged neighborhoods and buried structural debris beneath new layers of fill soil. Incomplete or destroyed wartime archives meant municipal planners rarely possessed comprehensive records showing where unexploded weapons lay buried. Modern office towers, residential districts, high-speed rail lines, and public parks were constructed directly over these hidden hazards, sealing them beneath asphalt and reinforced concrete for decades.
Today, urban development routinely reaches depth strata that post-war builders never touched. Deeper foundation piling for high-rise towers, expanded underground railway lines, deep sewer line overhauls, and riverbed dredging regularly push heavy equipment past historical excavation limits. When an excavator blade or industrial drill bit hits a heavy metallic obstruction in these deep layers, work stops instantly.
Germany represents the clearest and most extensively documented case of this ongoing reality. Intense wartime bombardment targeted industrial centers, bridge crossings, and urban hubs across the nation, leaving a high concentration of buried ordnance beneath rapidly growing metropolitan centers. State-level explosive ordnance disposal units manage thousands of reports every single year. Cities like Berlin, Hamburg, Cologne, Frankfurt, and Dresden operate under continuous vigilance. In these jurisdictions, routine ground preparation for major construction projects requires certified explosive safety checks before heavy excavation can proceed.
The moment workers expose a suspicious metallic casing, established emergency protocols activate immediately. Site managers halt all machinery, evacuate the immediate excavation pit, and notify emergency services and specialized disposal units. Police officers establish an initial security zone, while trained technicians conduct a systematic survey. Technicians examine the weapon to identify its design, weight, spatial orientation, structural integrity, and fuse architecture. A standard aerial bomb ranges from 50-pound general-purpose cases to massive 2,000, 4,000, or 4,000-pound heavy blockbusters. Fuses present the most critical technical variable in assessing site safety. A weapon may carry a mechanical impact fuse, a clockwork timer fuse, or a chemical long delay fuse.
Age alone does not render high explosives inert, nor does it follow a simple, predictable path toward safety. Chemical and physical degradation creates profound operational uncertainty. Over 8 decades underground, internal steel springs, brass fittings, and striker pins experience severe corrosion. In chemical delay fuses, degrading components can leave internal springs under heavy mechanical tension, held back only by brittle chemical residues or degraded metal tabs. A minor physical disturbance, vibration from nearby construction equipment, or a sudden change in surrounding soil pressure can unleash that stored mechanical energy without warning.
Because disposal experts cannot determine the precise internal stability of a buried weapon from the outside, operational uncertainty governs every step of the procedure. Before technicians can safely inspect or neutralize a fuse, they must carefully clear soil from around the casing. This delicate task often requires non-sparking hand tools made of brass alloys or high-pressure water streams to prevent any mechanical shock.
To protect human life, modern disposal units rely on specialized remote technology wherever possible. Teams deploy remote-controlled robotic vehicles equipped with high-definition cameras and precision manipulators. In complex operations, technicians use high-pressure water jet cutters mixed with abrasive garnet dust to slice through bomb casings from a safe distance. Alternatively, they deploy specialized rocket wrench devices designed to unscrew fuse caps remotely. Protective sandbag barriers, water-filled blast cushions, and heavy steel shields are positioned directly around the excavation pit to absorb blast energy and soil displacement in the event of an unintended detonation.
Specialists evaluate 3 primary courses of action. The preferred option is neutralizing the fuse mechanism directly on site, either by removing it mechanically or using remote equipment to cut away the fuse assembly. If the bomb design and structural condition permit, technicians render the weapon safe and transport the explosive body to a secure military facility or specialized burning ground for controlled disposal. However, if the fuse is severely crushed, corroded, or chemically unstable, moving the munition creates an unacceptable risk of detonation. In those high-risk scenarios, technicians must execute a controlled detonation in place, using massive earth mounds, sand barriers, and water bladders to suppress the explosion and flying shrapnel.
The true operational complexity lies in managing the surrounding human environment. Determining the required evacuation perimeter depends on bomb weight, casing thickness, soil dampening effects, and surrounding structural density. In dense metropolitan districts, an exclusion zone routinely extends from 300 meters to over 2 kilometers.
Issuing an evacuation order triggers a massive logistical effort. Local administrative authorities, civil protection agencies, police departments, and medical services must coordinate the movement of thousands of citizens. Evacuations frequently encompass residential apartment complexes, nursing homes, schools, and major university hospitals. Transit authorities must suspend regional train lines, detour interstate highways, and freeze commercial airspace above the sector. The resulting economic and social disruption is viewed by authorities as a necessary price for preserving human life in a densely populated landscape.
A persistent debate centers on estimating how many unexploded munitions remain buried beneath European soil. Figures published by historical institutes and government agencies vary considerably, and no unified Europe-wide database exists. This variance stems primarily from differing reporting definitions. Certain national statistics count only heavy aerial bombs, whereas other registries include artillery shells, mortar rounds, anti-aircraft projectiles, and unexploded landmines.
To identify buried hazards before heavy engineering begins, municipal planning agencies rely on a combination of historical research and geophysical surveys. Historical specialists analyze tens of thousands of wartime aerial reconnaissance photographs taken during the conflict. By cross-referencing bomb crater patterns and strike records with modern digital mapping systems, researchers identify high-risk zones where unexploded strikes were logged. Before excavation commences, survey teams conduct non-destructive testing across project sites. Technicians sweep ground surfaces using fluxgate magnetometers, electromagnetic induction sensors, and ground-penetrating radar to detect underground anomalies in the Earth's magnetic field caused by buried ferrous metal casings.
These geophysical tools have clear practical boundaries. Decades of urban redevelopment have left soils contaminated with industrial slag, reinforced concrete, buried steel pipes, and metallic construction debris. This background noise can obscure the magnetic signal of a deeply buried weapon. Furthermore, high groundwater levels, clay-dense soils, and existing concrete foundations significantly limit the depth penetration of radar and magnetic sensors. Objects lying directly beneath intact post-war buildings remain virtually undetectable until structural demolition occurs.
Municipal authorities navigate an ongoing tension between public safety and urban economic activity. Halting transit lines, evacuating business districts, and delaying major construction projects impose substantial financial costs on cities and commercial developers. Yet, ignoring potential hazards risks catastrophic loss of life and massive infrastructure damage. Repeated evacuations do not mean that authorities expect every discovered weapon to detonate spontaneously. Rather, they provide the controlled environment and safety margin necessary for specialists to conduct high-risk disposal work without endangering the public.
While Germany provides the most extensive public documentation, this challenge spans across former battlegrounds and target zones throughout Europe. Heavy unexploded ordnance remains a recurring concern in Great Britain, France, Belgium, Italy, Poland, and the Western Balkans. Each nation addresses the hazard through its own administrative frameworks, specialized military or civilian disposal units, and municipal planning laws, reflecting distinct national approaches to a shared continental legacy.
Unexploded ordnance is ultimately best understood as a permanent, hidden layer of modern European infrastructure. It exerts a continuous physical influence on civil engineering, municipal planning, real estate development, property insurance, and emergency management. 21st century cities are not merely reflecting on the history of the Second World War. They are actively unearthing and managing its physical remnants, one construction site, transit line, and riverbed at a time.
As cities continue to expand and dig deeper into the soil, managing this volatile physical legacy remains an ongoing responsibility of modern urban governance. If this perspective changes how you view the streets and transit lines beneath your feet, consider how much of our present world is still shaped by the buried choices of the past. Thanks for watching. To create your own audiobooks from your prompts and documents, visit myaudiobooks.ai. Subscribe for more.